Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss, oh, so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries. And we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me again today. I'm coming at you live from the Taurus Station Wagon 1990 version. So usually, just to let you know, I do my podcasts in the car when I'm driving to work in the morning, in the pre-dawn, or when I'm driving home from work in the late afternoon. So if you hear the sound quality and it sounds a little fuzzy, or you hear a couple other funny things like a blinker, like a turn signal, or things like that, just know that I'm in the car. That's what I'm doing right now. Maybe one day I won't have to drive and go to a job that's an hour away from where I live, but right now that's the reality and that's what I'm doing. So I figured it was the best time to record the podcast would be when I'm, you know, already kind of locked in a box with my thoughts for an hour, which would be being in the car. So I just wanted to tell you a little bit about that. I know that I might have mentioned a couple other times that I'm in the car, but usually I'm driving my Dodge truck. It's kind of a small white truck. Oftentimes I have different things in the back of the truck that either I'm dropping off at the dump or picking things up from just different stores. And just recently, my husband and I, Jason and I, got my old car fixed that my parents had kept for a while and used a little bit after I gave it to them. But it was like really my first car, honestly. I mean, I had a station wagon that was way older than the one I'm driving now when I was the first few years of high school. But I got this station wagon, this Ford Taurus 1990 black awesome station wagon that I love. It's falling apart on the inside. It smells funny, but it is awesome. I love it. And the main reason I love it is because I became a woman in this car. You know, I don't mean sexually, like I had sex in this car. That's not what I mean, because that to me isn't what makes you a woman. I became a grown-up, strong person when I owned this car. This was the car that I owned when I first moved out of my parents' house and started to live on my own and take care of myself. And so I really wanted to just tell you that now I'm driving that car again. Sometimes I'll be driving the Dodge truck. Sometimes I'll be driving Jason's car, which is a Chevy, you know, it depends. And every now and again, I'll be able to record not in the car. So like if I get a break from my job or I'm on vacation, I'll be able to record sitting in my house or maybe outside of my house, you know, things like that. But today's episode is episode 23. And I wanted to talk a little bit about what being a woman means to me. Since to me, this car is such a symbol. It's so connected to me and my womanhood and growing up and becoming who I am. Because I had this car for years and years. From when I was 18 until I was maybe 23 or 24. So for a lot of my early adult years, this was the car I drove, and it was reliable. It was wonderful. I might have even had it till I was 24, 25. I can't remember. But I mean, I have it again, and it's really exciting that this was my first car and I've got it again a decade later, and all the memories are coming back. How much I love this car, how I drove it all these places and things like that. It hasn't yet hit 100,000 miles. So hopefully it'll keep on popping after that. But I just really love it. So it really got me thinking about what being a woman is to me. You know, it's different for different people. And I really have a lot of people to thank for my concept of womanhood. And that's the same thing for everybody in the world, is they shape their idea of what a woman is around people that they know, their mother, their grandmother, their aunts, their sisters, but also around the male family members that they have, how their dad responds to certain types of women, how other men that they respect, their brothers and their family members, how they respond to different sorts of women and how they feel about that as a symbol of womanhood. But then also just other things in the world too. So media and society and religion and so many different things, your school system, so many things really contribute to your concept of what a woman is. And you can always choose to consciously say, no, I don't agree with that. That's not what a woman is to me. I'm not going to connect that to womanhood. I'm not going to feel less like a woman because of this thing. But sometimes you really have to be consciously aware of what your concept of womanhood is, especially when you're thinking about raising children, in my opinion, is having them understand what that really means. But you have to be conscious about it, just in case, you know, you don't want to instill in them something that you feel about it that you wish you didn't, you know, about what a woman is. The point is to instill in your children the fact that if they are men or women, or, you know, choose to be neither, but most folks will identify with being men or women. Whatever they are, that the way they are naturally is an ideal definition of being a man and a woman, if they are an honorable person. So to me, one of the greatest things that comes with being a woman isn't about a physicality or a personality. It's about a morality. It's about being a considerate person. It's about being a kind person. It's about having a moral code that is based on maybe something different than what other people think, but that is based on being a caring person, or having some sort of code of beliefs about treating others that is positive. So making sure that you give others respect, and that, but also in return, someone who demands to be respected, but giving others respect. And that can manifest in many different ways. This means physical respect. This means emotional respect. This means spiritual respect. It means letting people be who they want to be. Short of that person totally harming someone else, you have to veto that. You can't let them be that way if you're standing by and you see that happening. But to me, that's one of the big things that goes with being a woman and also with being a man, because to me, they're really very inseparable. The valuable aspects of men and women, to me, they all overlap. And then there are other aspects of womanhood that are more physical that I feel like, for myself, that's the kind of woman I want to appear. But general womanhood, to me, what I believe about general womanhood is that you have to be empathetic. You have to be a kind person. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be a sweet, nice person. But that means you have to be a caring, empathetic person to other people. You have to connect with and care about the plight and experiences and feelings of other people. Because that, to me, is also a basic human trait. The ability to connect and be social. Humans are humans because they're social. Other animals that are social, too, like chickens. Chickens are chickens because they're social. Now, of course, a lot of their chickenness would still be instilled in them, even if they were raised by themselves without other chickens, because a lot of it is very intuitive for them and innate in their genetics. But humans are really different because so much of our wiring is social. So much of our wiring is social. Now, some of it is definitely biological and a genetic code that we follow also. And I feel like a lot of people underestimate the way our bodies control our understanding of the world and the way our brain chemistry and our genetic code as men, women, and humans, or as male, female, humans, the hormones in our body, different things like that, the way it actually affects our humanness, you know, in a certain way, because it affects how you interact with people, how you connect with people, which is one of the biggest things about being a human is being social, like I just said. Another really strong trait to me that is connected to womanhood is strength. It also, I believe, is connected to manhood too, but potentially in a different way for the people that feel like they're men than for people that feel like they're women. I don't know. Because I definitely am not as physically strong as my husband Jason. I can't pick stuff up that's as heavy as he can pick up. And on average, men can lift heavier things than women. There is a strength difference there. It has to do with the way our bodies are shaped naturally. Men have broader shoulders. They have a higher center of gravity. Women have a lower center of gravity, bigger hips, or generally, you know, wider hips on average. Not everybody. And I have beat many a man in arm wrestling. That's like my favorite thing ever. And I don't expect to win because most men that I know that are my friends, I'm not as strong as they are. But that doesn't mean it's not fun. And I am pretty strong for a girl. And it's just fun to arm wrestle someone who is tougher than me to beat because I feel like it challenges me. And I just love arm wrestling. I just get in the zone and I just love it. Like at our wedding reception, I did that for like 2 hours. And since it was my wedding reception, I was able to kind of force people to arm wrestle me and it was fantastic. But that's not necessarily what I'm talking about strength in comparison to others. That is not what I mean. I mean emotional, but I also mean physical strength. But not compared to others. So let's start with emotional strength. To me, a woman has a strong emotional understanding of the world, but has a strength of emotion when it comes to difficult things in life. Because that's what life is. Life can be hard. Life can be easy sometimes. It can be hard sometimes. But you have to be prepared for some hard stuff, and you have to deal with it when it happens. You can't say, oh, I'm not dealing with this anymore. I'm just going to give up. That wouldn't be a strength. I mean, everybody wants to give up sometimes. It's okay to feel that way. But to actually do it, especially when others are relying on you, like children or your family that you really care about, you can't do that. That is the experience of animals on this earth, of humans on this earth, is to get through something that seems almost impossible to get through. And I feel like I've been pretty lucky in my life, and I've never had a lot of difficult things to deal with. But I know some of my friends have had to deal with much harder things than me. Some women I know have had to deal with these things. I know women that have had to deal with cancer. I can't imagine it. But that is a strength that I do not know my ability to handle that because I've never had to experience it. But these women didn't know until it happened to them, and they handled it. They handled it in their own way, with lots of tears, lots of anger, lots of worry, lots of stress, lots of understanding and belief and hope. Lots of all these things mixed together. There's no wrong way to deal with something and to be strong. Strong isn't about feeling like you're strong in the moment. Strong is about getting through it and looking back and thinking, I did it. I did it. I knew I could. I just lost sight of that because things are hard. Strong people don't have to know they're strong. They just have to keep on moving. So I feel like a lot of womanhood is the ability to withstand, the ability to carry on. Now, that with that comes that a level of strength. With that comes knowing when to stop. So not necessarily when to stop trying, but I mean when to stop something that isn't working for you. So it's an understanding. It's an ability to understand yourself. To me, that is a quality of true womanhood. That you are not in denial about who you are. You are not in denial about what you mean to yourself, to other people. And that you are not in denial about what actually makes you happy and what works for you. You haven't fully developed as yourself yet if you feel like you are in denial of these things. You are dipping yourself of your true identity, which to me is integrally linked to your concept of womanhood and yourself. So if you're in a situation, a relationship, part of your life, a job, anything that you know just makes your stomach hurt, like it's just not the right thing, or you know somewhere even in the back of your mind it's not as obvious as feeling nauseous about going to work or different things that you hate, but just in the back of your mind you know that something isn't right for you, you do have the strength to change it inside of you. You just have to do it. And that's like one of the hardest things ever. But you just take the first step and things start to fall into place. I believe that the universe has a way of taking care of people that are conscious of what they mean to themselves and try, and they put their energies out there in a good way, regardless of what religion you do or if you do any religion at all. You open up your energy about wanting change, needing change, being willing to make the change, even though it is horrifyingly scary, and things start to fall into place. The universe is not a crazy mass of confusing energy fields. It's a very organized, almost magical seeming to me, place where you don't necessarily see patterns until they all of a sudden click into place for you. There's a Zen saying that says, leap and the net will appear. And I totally agree with that. And I am the worst ever at change. I'm horrible. You can ask Jason, you can ask my family, you can ask my friends. I'm not good at change. Even small changes I'm not great at. I'm getting better as I'm getting older. But big change, oh God, it's scary. And I resist and I hold back. Jason is better at convincing me, hey, change is okay. Change is okay. You can always go back if you don't like it. But to me, it signifies the end of an era. It's just so scary. And I'm such a black and white kind of mindset kind of person that I'm like, wait, if I change then and it fails, then I'm a failure. But I know that that's not true, but I have those fears inside of me. But the universe has a way of helping you out when you finally let go of what you wish would work for you, but you know isn't working for you. When you find that strength or that just tough ability, whatever you want to call it, to say, this is not what I need anymore. This is not what I want anymore. This is not right. Say it however you need to say it. Say what you want. Say what you need. The universe will open, it opens pathways. It opens pathways for you. It's like, it makes me think of this analogy. My cousin recently, like last week, had brain surgery. She's just a few years older than me. She's like 35, and she has 4 kids, and she's a fantastic mom. And they found a tumor near her ear, behind, like, connected to her brain, kind of in her ear area, kind of in the back side of her brain, that luckily isn't malignant, but they had to take it out because it could hurt her, and it was making her go deaf, and now she actually is deaf in that one ear because they couldn't save her hearing. But the great thing is that she's okay, and she's healing, and she's already home. It was just, I mean, it's unbelievable she had brain surgery. But the metaphor I'm getting at is, I didn't know that this is how brain surgery worked, but this particular type of brain surgery, they go in through the back of your brain, which already sounds scary. But they go in through the back of your brain and they go in with like a little probe. I don't know if it's wire. I don't know what it is, but it's very small. And they go in between your lobes of your brain. And they put that whatever probe in a little bit. And then they wait. And they wait long enough for the brain to move itself out of the way of the probe. Talk about amazing. Because we don't think of our brain as a separate entity from us, usually. We think of it as connected to our system, as though we have control over our brain. And we do. But we also have to keep in mind that it is some sort of, it's almost magical to me, such an interesting physical thing that falls into place when it needs to. So you put the probe in a little bit, and the brain will slide out of the way and make space for it so it doesn't get damaged. It knows to move. You push the probe in a little bit more, and it moves out of the way. You can put the probe all the way down in there, and your brain keeps scooting out of the way just a little bit, just enough to let that through. Path of least resistance. The path of least resistance in your life, in being strong and making decisions as an intelligent, strong, wonderful woman, isn't always what seems to be the path of least resistance in the moment. It has to do with what is right for you. Being strong enough to say, I am making this decision, it is going to work for me. And when you put that energy out there, the universe has a way of saying, okay, you're right. I'm going to move out of the way for you. Now, it doesn't always work with everything, but in that case, I would wager that that wasn't the right path for you, that you were forcing something down a path that it wasn't meant to go. It wasn't the right thing. But if you're going down one of the potential paths that is right for you, and things are lining up, and it's clicking for you, it's like a breath of fresh air, things are going to align and open up for you in a way that seems unreal, just like the way the brain moves out of the way of that probe, which seems so unreal. It's going to work like that. It does work like that. It's worked like that in my life, to much amazement of myself and people around me. I've seen it work like that for other people, but the biggest thing is making that step and saying to yourself, this is not what I want. I want to change. I want to do this. I want to do that. And that, to me, is a lot about strength. It's the strength to let go of things that aren't working for you anymore. Another aspect of strength that, to me, is very related to women, or my womanhood in particular. This is more my idea of what a woman is. And less what I believe about, like, universal womanhood, the concept. Because I do believe there is some sort of universal womanhood. There is a strength of character. There is a sense of empathetic caring, which is just pretty much what human nature is. Or human emotional caring. Social humans. Men and women. But to me, being a woman also has to do with being physically strong. And this doesn't mean being able to beat anybody in arm wrestling. Because I can beat some people. Beat a couple men, but mostly can't beat men. Mostly can beat women. But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, can you use your body to do the things you want it to do if you're being reasonable with your body? Are you able to pick the thing up that you need to carry around? Can you carry your children around? If that is in fact what you want to do, if you're having children. Can you carry a 50-pound bag of bird food around, which sometimes I do, because Jason and I live out in the country, and I carry heavy things like that sometimes. Can you do what your body is capable of? Will you? And not even can you, because your body can do it in most cases. But will you do what your body is capable of? Will you recognize that discomfort isn't necessarily bad, and that your strength is related to actually doing things that make you stronger? So, moving, walking, running, picking this up, putting it down, but being careful all the while. To me, strength is a really important part of my concept of womanhood, and I know that one of the big reasons is because my mom is a pretty strong person. She's always been a pretty physical person in her job. But also, very much related to my dad's concept of womanhood. And he never straight up said this to me. I think women are, like, the most attractive when they're this, this, and this, and this. But whenever I would get dressed up, I lived with my parents when I was 18, as is the average. Whenever I'd get dressed up to go to one of the dances, or just to go out with friends, or anything like that, you know, my concept was, oh, do I look, you know, I look pretty. But my dad would always say to me, before he would say, oh, you look nice, or you look beautiful, he would say, you look strong. And I will never forget that. Because that is how I have embedded that belief about what I am as a person into my femaleness and my womanhood. Is, am I strong? Yes, I am. And that to me is so related to being a woman. Am I strong? And he meant, you look physically strong. And he always thinks that strong, powerful women are really interesting. He doesn't really like very thin, more frail type of people. And I'm not saying if you're thin, you're frail. That's not what I mean. But I mean thin and frail. He's never into that sort of waifish look that some folks are into when they're younger. And usually men, when they get older, they realize, oh, most women are not super thin like models. Some people are. Some women are naturally shaped like that. But not the majority. So I always thought being strong is a good thing. Being strong is related to womanhood. And I still believe that definitely now. Like, if someone were to think that I was a weak physical person, I would be very offended, and I would very likely want to challenge them to a physical contest of some sort, which is a little bit ridiculous. But it is so related to what I think of as a woman. Now, when the day comes that I become an older woman and I can't do some of the things that I can do now, that's a different thing to me, because that has to do with being older. And with being older, you trade some of your physicality for wisdom, and that's what nature does to you. That's the way it goes. You can't fight nature. You can't fight nature. It's ridiculous to try. You can age gracefully, which to me means aging healthily and, you know, not beating your body up. But you still will age, and you will lose strength, and you will lose skin tone, and you will become wrinkly, and you will get old. And that's part of life. But you trade some of your physical strength for an even greater strength of will and character, and a wonderful, fantastic history of what it means to be a woman in the time that you grew up that you get to pass on to people, which is a wisdom. Which is fantastic, because you are uniquely positioned in your life to tell a story unlike anyone else's story. No one can tell a story like yours. It is your story of who you loved and what you did and where you went and what your life was like and the crazy shit you did and what you learned from this and this and this. That is your story. So another part to me of being a woman is related to your ability to recognize what your experiences mean to you. So the ability to recognize that a certain experience is a teaching experience, a certain experience is an experience that you want to hold on to forever, like, you know, love, for example. But that everything, all of your experiences together, compile to make you who you are. So that to me is another part of being a woman, is recognizing your wisdom and your knowledge from just your life. Even if you think, I haven't had an extraordinary life, I just did the same thing everybody else did. I went to high school, then I went to college, then I got married out of college, then I had a job for a while, and then I had some kids, and here I am. But that isn't all that you did. You did so many other fantastic things. So many other fantastic things that involve an increased sense of wisdom about your life and the life of others around you now. You've done things that have made you stronger physically, have made you stronger emotionally. And I think we take that for granted. We think, oh, I'm just who I am now. But did you forget all that it took to get you here today? There's a fantastic quote that I've heard before. I believe it's by a woman named Dolores Huerta, who I think was an advocate for farm workers, if I'm not mistaken. I need to look that up and double check. But if I'm not mistaken, she was an advocate for farm workers, and equal rights and immigrants and things like that. And she fought for women and she fought for immigrants, and I believe she was from Mexico. But I have a quote written down that she said that I thought was fantastic, and she said, "It has taken me all the time I have had to become myself," which is totally true. Because with that also reminds us that you and yourself as a woman is a constantly changing entity that should always welcome new experiences and always welcome new concepts of what it means to be you. Because it doesn't necessarily mean that it changes the core of who you are. Most people's core don't really change over time. Most people have a certain personality that stays. But it can change your outlook on the world and how you implement things you care about and things like that. So it has taken me all the time I've had to become who I am today. Just like when I first started driving this fantastic Taurus around, that was a decade ago, when I was 18, it had taken me all the time that I'd had to become myself then. And I'm still the same woman, but I'm still ultimately unbelievably different at the same time. And that is still womanhood, because it's me. And whatever experience you've had as a woman is womanhood because it's you. Because I guarantee you, you can find in your life experience strengths that you have that where you're physically strong, whether you are emotionally strong, all of these things. I know that you can find that. I can find that, and I am an ordinary woman just like you. Everybody has their weird quirks, and I certainly have my share of mine, but I'm still just a woman. I will still die an old woman one day. I was still born a little baby girl. I was born a little baby, and I will die one day. And just like millions and millions of other women in the world, I share so many experiences with them. So I'm technically an ordinary woman, aren't we all? And yet we're not ordinary at all. There are many experiences that we share that we can connect on a universal level. But then there are many that are unique to us that we have to own and we have to remember are what makes us special, is what makes us our own sort of woman. On top of all these other things that I've mentioned that to me are such a big part of womanhood in general, are other things that I would just throw out some words that I find to be equally as embedded in manhood too. So, honesty, which doesn't mean always telling the truth every single time. It means an honesty to yourself, but also an honesty to people that you care about. And it also means not being a liar. Everybody tells white lies sometimes. But that doesn't compromise the kind of person you are. But Some lies do. Some deceits do. You know, have you said some white lies, or are you a deceitful person? And that's different. If you are generally a deceitful person, that's not cool. So having an honesty about you. And for myself, I know that part of my womanhood is having an openness about myself. Every woman has that, in my opinion, but I just have it to a different degree, whatever it would be, comparing it to each other. I know that I am just really open. Clearly, I have this podcast where I talk about all sorts of personal sexual things. I am just a very open person. And if that wasn't all of a sudden part of my life, it would be so weird. That's who I am. It's part of my identity, which to me is therefore part of who I am as a woman. My woman identity, my female identity. I might have a daughter who is so not interested in sharing personal experiences. Kind of like the way Jason isn't. At least with perfect strangers. Jason will do it with me, but still not as much as I do with him. So perhaps I'll have a daughter who is not interested in sharing personal information very much. And that will be her sort of womanhood. She's open with certain people about certain things, but she's not constantly bearing everything all the time, almost to a degree that seems bizarre, open. Another thing that I think is an important aspect of being a woman is determining when is the best time to be selfish and when is the best time to be selfless. Because as women and as men, we need to know the difference, because there are times in our lives when we need to be selfish in order to hold on to who we are as people. Selfish isn't always a bad thing. It means thinking of yourself first. And sometimes we need to do that. And sometimes we need to be selfless. We need to think of ourselves second when it comes to our children, in most cases. Or we need to think of ourselves second in certain situations where someone needs our help and we have to worry about them before someone else. And I would say not the last thing that is related to my idea of womanhood, but one of the greatest things, because there are so many other things that are related to my idea of womanhood, I just couldn't even say them all now. Because there are all these things that are related to my idea of my identity, which I perceive to be deeply embedded in being a woman. The biggest thing, I would say, and this is the idea of, it's just being a human, but to me, it's related to being a woman, is a sense of awe about the world. When I don't have any awe about the world anymore, just shoot me. I don't want to be around. I mean, I'm kidding. Please don't do that. But I don't want to be around for a world that I'm not in awe of in some way. That doesn't mean I have to feel that way all the time or even very often. But the happiest people I've ever met are the people that are still in awe of certain things. They're 80 years old and they still think, wow, that's pretty amazing, that thing I just saw. Or they're still interested in giving themselves thoughts of awe, giving themselves exposure to awe. So learning new things, seeing new things, going new places. There's an unbelievable amount of fantastic information, visual information, auditory information, all sorts of ways you can gather information that we can get from the universe, the earth, the social world that is our human family around the world. There is no end to new things you could learn. And so I don't know what the point would ever be of giving up. And awe is contagious. And you intend to inspire that in the people that you love and your family. And with awe usually comes excitement about something and an utter disbelief but total understanding of something at the same time. It's such a fantastic, weird, contradictory emotion. It feels like it's coming from outside of your body, not inside of you. Like you feel like love comes from inside of me. I feel like I love this thing, or I'm mad. I feel mad at this thing. But awe, it's as if you are both realizing how ridiculously small you are at the same time as understanding how large you are. Doesn't seem like it's possible. But that's what awe does to you, is it allows you to see the world from grand and miniature scales at the same time and to be excited about what you get to see in your life and who you get to know and just anything. So such a big thing to me is having a sense of awe. And with a sense of awe is going to come happiness of some sort. Because you can't be in awe of something without being excited and happy about it. At least for a while. Now, of course, beyond these things, there's also aspects of my female self, my woman's body, that to me are womanly about myself. But it's because I was born looking a certain way and shaped a certain way. So to me, I am the kind of woman I want to be when I have long hair, because I've always loved having long hair. When you can see the definition of the muscles in my arms and legs. When it's summer and I'm a little bit more tan, when I have more sun. But I know women that are different. Women that I still consider to be wonderful models of women, but I just don't have their physical form, and so my beliefs about what I am as a woman isn't related to what they look like. I know women who feel like themselves when they have short hair, who feel like themselves when they're rounder, or who feel like the greatest version of themselves when they're pregnant, even. Or women who feel like themselves when they don't have any sun at all, or, you know, different things about their teeth or their face or their body or their boobs. Do they have big boobs, little boobs? I don't know. It's how you feel about what being a woman is. So your physical concept of being a woman should be related to you. The ideal woman is you. You are the ideal woman. Physically, you are her. You are she. If you feel healthy, if you feel like you're in charge of taking care of your body and your body is working for you and you're a really good team with your body right now, you're the ideal woman. If you think, I'm not really healthy, I'm not feeling great about this and that. I don't mean, oh, do I look chubby? I mean, am I healthy? Because there are plenty chubby people I know that are healthy. Healthier than skinny people. If you are healthy, then you are the ideal woman. If you are feeling healthy with yourself. If you're putting stuff in your body that you want to be putting in your body, if you're making conscious choices about yourself, you are she. You are the ideal woman. And if you don't feel like you are, then it's only related to some things that you could do to make yourself feel healthier, like eating better or, you know, exercising some, or just going outside and smelling the fresh air. Or having sex. That always makes you feel nice. Sometimes when you start doing it, you're like, man, I don't feel very sexy right now. And then you get into it and you're like, well, yeah, I am. I'm clearly sexy because I feel sexy. So therefore, I am sexy. Needless to say, I feel like there are certain things about our womanhood that are universal things about, that are more on a human level, not even about being a man or a woman, but things that make us have womanhood and manhood, integrity and honesty and caring for other humans and things like that. But then there's also things about our individual womanhood that is related to who we are and our identity. And I just thought about all this today as I'm driving around in my car that saw me through the early stages of becoming a woman and being able to take care of myself, because that's a big part of it to me too. And I want to talk about that in a future podcast, is being able to be a strong woman in your later life and standing up for yourself has a lot to do with knowing you're capable, and some really great ways to remind yourself that you're capable. But this car just reminded me of what do I feel like as a woman? What does it mean to be a woman? And I really wanted to talk about it today. But I also really want to hear what you think about, what is womanhood? What is your idea of womanhood? What are some words that describe to you a true woman? Hopefully you're describing yourself, because that's the true woman, is you. So I really want to hear your thoughts. I would love to do a listener show where I can talk about some other people's ideas about what being a woman is. That would be fantastic. So make sure, remember, every episode I mention this again, but make sure you like us on Facebook, you follow us on iTunes, send me an email, Emma@awomanpodcast.com. Put a comment on the website. Mention a comment on Facebook. Write something on my timeline. Contact me somehow. Join the email list so you get updates about each episode. Subscribe on iTunes. So many things. Do these things. And email me. Email me. Email me your thoughts, your questions, your ideas for another episode. I want to talk with you. This is a dialogue. I'm excited to get started. I think it's been really fun so far, and I'm just going to keep it up. Whether you stay excited about listening or not, I hope you do, because I am just excited. I'm in awe of the possibility that comes with being able to talk to you every day. So just keep listening and keep thinking, and send me a comment, send me a question, send me a thought. I'm Emma. Once again, thanks for listening. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.